One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he saith unto the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." You can be seated. I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on a faith that worships Christ. And the truth of the matter is, if we're going to worship, we must worship by faith. But the Scripture said they that come to Him must first believe that He is. And only faith will God allow to worship Him. In our text, we have this woman who has come into this man, this Pharisee, this Simon's house. And she comes to worship. It arouses a question in the heart of Simon. He knows that this woman has a notable past. And he sees her as she comes so close as even to touch this prophet. And it begs the question, how can she do that? How is it that he would allow her to come and be this intimate, especially knowing that there were several other accounts in Scripture in which it seemed as though that folks were turned away whose lifestyle was far less wicked than hers. I thought about the rich young ruler who came to Christ and said, "What must I do to have or to inherit eternal life?" And he was turned away basically because of his trust and his love for his money. But yet that doesn't seem to be as bad as what this woman has committed. I thought about the money changers whom Jesus went in and put the whip together and ran them out. And certainly He should have. But yet their abuse of the people of God financially doesn't seem to be as corrupt as what this woman engaged in. I thought about the Pharisees who came to John at the River of Jordan to be baptized. And He said unto them, "No, you'll not be baptized today. You must go forth and bring forth fruit for repentance." But yet it seemed as though their lives were on a far higher level than this woman. And so it begs the question, and Simon asks, how is it that she has the audacity? How is it that she has the right to come in and to worship Christ, knowing her past? Now I want us to consider this for just a moment. I'm talking about faith that worships with the thought in mind of her past or of her lifestyle. There are three things that I want to draw to your attention concerning this faith that worships Christ. I want you to notice with me, first of all, that this woman, her faith allows her to worship in spite of her past. And truly this morning, we all must realize that and know that by faith, that if we're going to worship Christ, it's not because that we've been so good. When we consider and remember our past, we know that when we worship Him, we are worshiping Him in spite of our past. Because I notice her past is stated. It is a fact. Look in verse number 37. The Bible said, "And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner." The Word of God notes and declares that this woman who came into Simon's house and worshiped Christ had a past. But can I say to you that this same Word of God that tells us about this woman's past is the same Word of God which by faith lets us know that we all have had a past. Well, the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no hope of ever getting into the presence of Christ until faith has let you know that you have a past according to this book. It is noted, it is a stated fact that she has a past. Verse number 39, we see that society is aware of her past. Now, you may be here today and in pride, you may be hiding your past, eluding your past, disguising your past. But if you've lived in this community any length of time at all, I'm sure we could hunt up some folks that could tell us about your past. Because they know about it. And Simon knows about it. Look in verse 39. He again says, "And when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." I hate to discourage you, but folks know more about you than what you'd like for them to know. Even your kin folks have discussed you and your past. It is noted in Scripture. It is known by Simon and the rest of society. The nature of her sin is even supposed when Simon says and indicates when he says what manner of woman. Now, I don't have to get into detail as far as this woman's lifestyle and the way she lived. It is supposed here. We can tell from the way that Simon says it that he's not talking about a little white lie that she told. But this woman has a devilish, demonic, evil, corrupt, immoral, deceptive, depraved, degenerate past. And he's talking about that past. This gives us the manner of the detail of what she has been involved in. But notice in verse number 47, it seems as though that Jesus doesn't help her case any. He doesn't argue with Simon and say, "Well, now, Simon, hold it. The reason why I've let her in is because she's not as bad as what you think." No, these are not idle gossip. This is not harsh rumors. This is not false innuendos. This woman has a past. And Jesus indicts her himself. He seems to magnify it. Wherefore I say unto thee, verse 47, her sins, which are many. He said, Simon, I know she's a sinner. And I know that it's not been just a one-time incident. But I know that her sins are many. And so it is stated, it is a fact. We know from reliable sources that this woman lived in sin. Habitual sin, disgraceful sin, a constant and continual breaking of God's laws morally and spiritually and socially. She is a sinner without any question. But I want to draw your attention again to verse number 47. She has a past, it is stated. Can I ask you this morning, do you have a past? Has your faith let you know about your past? Have you been brought to revelation of the fact that you have lived in sin? This is the first step to worship. But notice what Jesus says in verse 47. He said, Simon, I want to tell you that between the time of what you think you know or what you do know about her and today what you are seeing her engage in worshiping me, between the time of her past and today, something has happened that you don't know anything about. He said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. We're not here today with halos on our heads, as if that we have the right to worship Him. But the truth of the matter is, we all have our past. But that's not what's important. The past is stated as a fact. But Jesus lets us know the important thing is that her past is settled. It is forgiven. I confess to you that I have had a past, but I say to you, thank God it has been taken care of. It has been settled. She does not worship around her past, hiding it. By faith, she has accepted the fact of her past that she is a sinner, but also by faith, she has accepted the forgiveness of her sin. The songwriter said there was a time on earth when in the book of heaven, an old account was standing. The sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below, but he said, I went unto the keeper. And I settled long ago. Said, Simon, you know why she's here? Because it's been settled. The old account was large. It was growing every day, for I was always sinning, and I could not pay. But when I looked ahead, I saw such pain and woe. And I said, I'm going to Jesus. And I settled 37 years ago. Settled. The thing that blesses my heart is I notice in this worship experience that she has come and settled the stated past that Jesus does not refuse her worship until Simon is satisfied. Faith is never delayed upon the basis of what someone else thinks. Faith is not awaiting the approval of some committee. But faith worships in spite of the past. By faith she worships. And by faith we will always worship. But if we worship, we'll have to worship in spite of that past. Now, the second thing that I want to draw to your attention concerning her worship by faith, she not only worships in spite of her past, but I notice in my text that she worships out of her past. Now, there is a good sense in which your past will always come with you. As a matter of fact, it would be impossible for this woman or anybody else to worship Christ without an understanding by faith of our past. It is the basis of all worship. It's what John Newton said about his experience when he said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a what? Wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, and now I see." What was John doing? He was reaching back and seeing his past, and he was worshiping out of that past. I would have no reason nor cause to worship today unless I could stand before you and tell you what Christ has done for me as to my past. And he says to Simon, in verse number 40, "I got something to talk to you about." He said there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me therefore which of them will love him most." This woman is worshiping, thank God, out of her past. Her past is always with her as she worships, as it is with us. As a matter of fact, even in eternity, we are going to worship, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that hath redeemed us." And even in our eternal worship, we will be giving reference to what happened to our past. It will be with us. And here he says to Simon, the reason why this woman is worshiping, she is worshiping out of that past. Two things out of her past that she worships with. First of all, she worships out of her past debt. Verse 41, she realizes that she is a debtor. She sees the significance of her debt. For the first time in her life, in her lifestyle, she feels the weight of sin, the load of iniquity upon her. And she knows that she is a debtor and that she owes heaven. That was the significance of this debt that she sees. That's why she's here worshiping. She understands the status of her debt. This debt is past due. And can I say to you that all debts to heaven are past due? Because the Bible said today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. She felt as I felt the day the Holy Ghost revealed to me by faith in His Word that I was lost, that I owed heaven a debt. I felt as though the next step I would take, I would plunge into hell. I had no time. I had to settle, and I had to settle quick. She owes, and she owes now. She understands the significance of that debt. He gives two amounts here. One is 500, the other 50. I want to ask you, by what the Scripture says about her worship, how much do you think she owed? How much do you think she thinks she owes? I believe when the Holy Spirit convicts a heart, we become aware of our sin so much that it becomes an immeasurable amount. And the reason why she is worshiping Christ to this degree is because she has felt the load of sin to the magnitude that it really is. She is a sinner. She is an awful sinner. It is not that she owes heaven a little bit, but she owes heaven all because she has broken all of the laws of God. The size of her debt is humongous. I remember hearing a preacher a few years ago, Brother Ken, and he was testifying about, before he got saved, how wicked he was, how vile and how wretched, using words like that. And then he went on to say that he got saved when he was 9 years old. And I said to myself, what'd you do? Steal a cookie from the cookie jar? How much sin can you get into by 9? But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't make any difference if you're 9 or 90. When the Holy Ghost comes to convict your heart, He doesn't come and tell you, oh, you're a pretty good boy and you hadn't done as bad as somebody else has done. But He puts the full weight of conviction upon you as though the debt is an insurmountable debt that must be paid. She owes, and she owes it all. The very size of her debt. And then I'm talking about how she worships not only in spite of her past, but out of her past. Her past debt. She sees the significance and the size of it and the status of it. But she also sees the satisfaction of it. The Bible said when they, verse 42, had nothing to pay, He frankly forgave them both. You see, there is no partial payment when sin has to be taken care of. Heaven accepts no partial payment. It's either all paid or it's paid not at all. And the Bible said they had nothing to pay. And so she has realized the great load of this sin. And no wonder it has brought her to Christ. In magnitude of worship, because she worships equal to her realization of faith as far as the forgiveness of her past is concerned. I thought about a way to illustrate this, and I know it's a poor illustration of it, but maybe you'll catch it. Let's suppose this morning that I come this way, and I don't know anything about Brother David's financial situation, but I'm going to suppose, let's just say Brother David just built a new house and it's costing $200,000. He's got a $2,000 a month payment. And he's having a hard time meeting the bills. And I come here this week in this meeting, and I come to Brother David, and I said, Brother David, I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to give you a couple bucks on your house payment. How do you think that's going to thrill him? The only thing he's going to say about it, somewhere tomorrow, he said, man, I don't know where this our preacher got this evangelist from. He ain't wired up right. He gave me $2 on my house payment. I owe $2,000 a month. I couldn't even buy a Moonfine RC Cola with that. But now let's just suppose, and Brother David, we are supposing now, okay? But I came this way this week, and after the service, I said, Brother David, I need to come by your house. And I went by his house, him and Sister Sherry, and I said, how much you owe on your house? What's your situation? He said, well, I owe $2,000 a month payment, and I just can't hardly make it. I said, well, we're going to write a check for you for the full $200,000. Now, how you think he'd act? He'd be back tonight shouting, praising God. He said, we got the greatest evangelist. He's better than Billy Graham. Why? Because of the size of the debt that was taken care of. And Jesus said to Simon, Simon, you ain't worshiping and you can't worship because you haven't by faith realized that you've ever had a debt. But this woman knows the size of her debt and it is immeasurable. And it has brought her to worship. It has brought her to worship. And can I say unto you, a house payment of $200,000 couldn't even equal the debt and the load of sin that had to be paid on my account. That it took nothing less than God's own Son on Calvary to settle that account. No wonder we're here this morning. No wonder we worship this morning. No wonder. Somebody said, preacher, I don't know why you act like you do. Well, my past makes me act like I do. I get in, I serve it somewhere, and somebody began to sing about that fountain of blood that washes away sin, and my past comes to mind, and that broad brings me to worship. I can't get over my past, and I don't ever want to get over my past. Because I worship out of that past. Out of her past debt. But she not only worships out of her past debt, she worships out of her past deeds. This leaped out to me one day as I was reading this account. And I noticed this woman's worship, how she engaged Christ. And then suddenly I realized that on her way to Christ, this woman, on her way to Christ, she stopped and gathered up all of her tools that were one time used as an engagement to unrighteousness. That's all she had. She didn't have anything else. She got her tools together and she headed to Christ. And you say, well, what did she do with them? She worshiped Christ with them. She didn't have anything else to worship Him with. She worshiped Him even out of the deeds of her past. And this is really what upset Simon. Now, hold on, buckle your seatbelt. You're wondering what I'm saying. Simon's upset because he knows this woman's past. He knows the tools that she used in her past. And now she comes into the presence of Christ and worships. She has the audacity to worship Him. And He also allows her to worship. Jesus knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in Simon's mind. This has irritated Simon to no end. All this kissing and laying hands on and using hair. Oh, he said if he knew, if he had any idea what she did with that in the past, he wouldn't let her do that. Faith will always find a proper way of worship. You don't have to tell it how. It ain't going to wait on you to tell it how. All it knows is come out of the past. And Jesus sort of rubs it in. He knows what's eating at Simon. He said, Simon, I come in here today and said, you didn't take no water and wash my feet. And said, she's bathed my feet with the tears from her eyes. And if I could reach into Simon's heart and see, I could just hear him say, yeah, but I know what she's used in my eyes for before. And he said, Simon, you didn't take a towel and bathe my feet and dry my feet. She's taking her hair. And Simon said, yeah, but that's what's bothering me. If you was a man of God, you claim to be, you'd know what she used that hair for before. He said, Simon, you didn't anoint me, but said she's taking that alabaster box of ointment, that perfume, and said she's anointing me. And Simon said, yeah. You know what she used that perfume for? In enticement in her past. That's what's got me. And then he cats it off. He said, Simon, you ain't kissed me. And said, she ain't stopped kissing me. He's saying, yeah, but you don't know what she's used them lips for before.
Amen, preacher.
She's brought the tools of her past and is now using them an engagement of the worship of Christ. Somebody said, now, preacher, is that scriptural? Sure is. Romans chapter number 6 said, take those members that were in your of your body that were one time yielded to unrighteousness. Those instruments that were one time yielded to unrighteousness. He said, bring them with you when you come. And he said, what we'll do is we'll use them as instruments of righteousness. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how these lips that one time used His name in vain, when He saved me, He said, just go ahead and preach my gospel. These hands that were one time engaged in wickedness, He said, raise them as holy hands. Just bring what you got and come on by faith and worship me out of your place. I'm glad when I look back into my past, it makes me want to worship. Just an old sinner, saved by His grace, makes me want to worship. She said, oh, Simon said, I don't understand this. And Jesus said, because you ain't never had no past. You ain't never been forgiven of no past. You ain't got anything to worship out of. Every time the old alcoholic bows before God, he worships out of those old bottles. Lord, I thank you've dried me out. I thank you, you've cleansed me of that. I thank you, Lord, you've taken away the vice. I thank you, Lord, I don't need the needle anymore. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. The fullness of all that I worship comes out of the past. By faith, she worships in spite of the past. By faith, she worships out of the past. But then I want you to notice with me lastly, by faith, she worships beyond the past. Now, Simon understands how this can happen. He said, and Jesus tells us in verse 50, he said, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. This whole engagement of worship is hinged upon a faith in regards to the past. But notice what he says to her in those last three words. She worships in spite of that past. She worships out of that past. But thank God, she worships beyond that past. Now, there is a negative sense in which your past will hurt you if you drag it around with you constantly, allowing it to be a cloud of condemnation, or allowing the vices of it to hold you or to grip you. You'd be amazed as I cross this country at how many people live in the past. But I want to say to you, He doesn't want this past to have this type a grip upon you. That's why He looked at this woman. He's aware of the past. Simon knows about the past. But Jesus says to her, go! By faith, go! Now they tell me that in the Greek, that word go there is in the imperfect tense. In other words, he's not saying to her, just take one step over there and stand there for a while. But it's never complete. He's saying, from this day forward, as far as your past is concerned, I want you to go. And then I want you to go. And then I want you to go. And then I want you to go. I want you to go. As a matter of fact, as she leaves, they're going out of sight. He's saying, go, 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 go. 37 years ago, in the midst of my past, the Lord Jesus redeemed me and saved me. And in my heart and soul, He said, son, now I want you to go, go, go. And for 37 years, I've been going from my past, beyond my past. I'd love to run into this woman about 40, 50 years later, wouldn't you? If she'd have stood and testified, she'd have said something about her past. You can't do it without it, can you? Huh? I was reading something about C.H. Spurgeon, some little... I got to get that book and get you a copy of it. It's Letting Spurgeon Speak. And instead of people talking about what he might have said, it's taking excerpts from his sermons. Those 52 volumes on certain subjects. There's 52 volumes of it. And I used to feel sort of bad, you know. I think folks think I didn't have anything else to preach when I... About every sermon, I got to say something about how I got saved. And they said in those 52 volumes, that in each one of their the volumes, there is no less than 3 times and sometimes as many as 10 times of his illustration of salvation. You just can't get over it, can you? And he would talk about that experience of salvation. But here's the thing about it. I'd love to run into that woman some 30, 40 years and she'd have been talking. If she'd have testified, she'd have had to say something about it. We just can't get over. But could you imagine this old saintly woman, gray-headed now? The glow of God upon her face, the Holy Ghost smothering over her. And how she's ministered to the ladies and the saints that have come down through the years. And she stands up and she said, I just want to tell you, I was a bad sinner. Y'all got no idea how deep in sin I was. I was depraved. I was dark. I was degenerate. I was wicked and I was vile. Everybody sin. Can't be, can it? Not her. You know why? Because when he sent her away, she had gone so far and such a distance to where by faith she knew the past was back there, but it was just a faint remembrance. Isn't that the way it is with you? 37 years ago, he sent me on the way by faith. And I tell you, when I turn around and look back, it almost seems as though it never was there. It's just a very faint remembrance. Go beyond. But someone would say, well, now, preacher, you say we need to go beyond that. But what if that past just keeps a haunting us? What if it wants to come after us? Well, Jesus took care of that too. I had preached many times on forgiveness, studied it. But I looked at it one more time, Brother David, and it blessed me in this life. You know what that word forgiveness simply means? It means, you can look it up, it means to send away. That's what it means. Send away. You know what's happening here on this day? Jesus is sending in two directions. He's saying to this woman, go, go, go. But this word forgiveness, it has the idea. Have you ever visited someone's house and they had a pup? Which is almost full grown, but it's still categorized as a pup because it chews on everything, slobbers on everything, jumps on everything. Many times as a preacher, I've gotten out of the car and I'm going to tell you, between the car and the house, there's been a barrage of scratches and slobber and all this other stuff as this pup jumps all over me. And then every now and then, thank God, the owner comes to his senses. You know what he'll say? Get out of here! I said, well, thank God, I hope that dog obeys. That's what that word forgiveness means. It's the same thing. Jesus has said to this woman, you go! Then he's turned around and looked at her past in forgiveness and he said, get out of here! east is from the west. He sent it away with a divine command so that you don't have to live under that bondage and that cloud and that vice. It's over. And every time she worshiped in spite of that past, out of that past. And thank God she worshiped beyond that past. And it all happened because of faith that worships. I'm glad I've been forgiven, aren't you? I'm glad He said to my past, get out of here. And I'm here to tell you, from time to time, that old past, that old dog of the past come around barking. You can hear him. Be outside the window. I'll tell you what you need to do. You just get down and reach down somewhere in the Word of God and get you a good old gospel rock. Slip around the side of the house and say, how I know I hit him. You'll hear him. Then you'll get some rest. Because the past is settled. The past is sent away.